If you've been told to pull your socks up recently, then make sure it's a pair of RCR socks. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/shop.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to the Up Your Brave show with Natalie Cutler-Welsh here on Reality Check Radio. Next up, I've got a returning guest, Joanne Webb, who joined us back in 2023, is back again to share some wisdom. And this time, the focus is how to enjoy sacred relationships for deeper love, connection, and peace. Welcome to the show, Jo.
Hi, Nat. How are you? Thank you for having me yet again.
Yet again, welcome back. Well, you know, there's so much to be said, especially with everything that's going on for people energetically, relationship-wise, around this whole connection and sacred relationships, which I'm curious about and I'm keen to dive into. Before I do, for those of you that don't know Jo, Joanne Webb is a self-love and sacred relationship coach. She loves working in her area of genius, which is helping people to love themselves, love their lives, and love each other. Integrating science, spirituality, and humanness into all of her work, Jo works with courageous women, teens, and families committed to healing, breaking down limiting beliefs, reprogramming conditioning to allow them to live from conscious love while loving themselves and their lives and enjoying sacred relationships. Well, yay. I think that can have a massive impact on humanity. So I'm excited to get into that. Before we do, how has life been for you? What's been going on in your work, you know, since you were on back in, I guess it was 6 months ago or more?
Yeah, gosh, just, you know, new clients all around the world, which is beautiful. You know, it's great to get on Zoom and wonder where the heck the next client's coming from. So that's been lovely. And most of my clients come from referrals. So sometimes I wonder where they come from when they come from the other side of the world, but there's always a connection, which is lovely. Yet new courses out, the Goddess Awakening, the Rising Goddess. I'm just about to set up a mastermind as well and a membership site. So there's lots of things happening, but, you know, and also added the word sacred relationship to my bio. Because why? Because all of my clients, they come to me and most of the things they talk about is relationships. It either makes us or it breaks us. So I thought, okay, well, this seems to be the area which I am being funneled into. So, and you know what you're like, Nat, you're queen of words, and you helped me with that sacred relationship title, which was lovely.
It's so interesting, isn't it, where the universe, you know, or whatever, your life path kind of guides you. And it's always interesting to see where people kind of end up focusing on in an area that is needed. And I do think, you know, we had such a massive response to my interview with Stacey Taylor, where we talked about masculinity, you know, which is also around the relationship with yourself. So let's talk about sacred relationships. First of all, for our listeners and for clarity, what does that mean to you, that phrase?
Well, our relationships, as I said, make us or break us. They either enhance our life or they cause us great grief and concern, which affects us mentally, physically, spiritually. So to me, I'm a believer in love. You know that, Nat. But our relationships are sacred, but we don't make them sacred. You know, we're not intentional about our relationships. So what is a sacred relationship? It's a relationship based on respect, honesty, support, loyalty, friendship, trust, forgiveness, integrity, authenticity, all those beautiful words. And when you look at your relationships, you know, I'm sure we can think of, and this is not just our intimate relationship, this is our relationships with our parents, our children, our siblings, our friends. You know, the biggest complaint I have from people is about their relationships. Are we making relationships sacred? Do your relationships include all those beautiful, succulent words?
Well, you know, some of them do and some of them don't. So do we have different types of relationships, you know, or should we really be aspiring to have all of our relationships be sacred relationships? And I'm thinking, you know, some people will have a boss at work, you know, and some people will have a distant cousin in you know, friends that they've known from high school. Should we be aiming for the same quality of relationship, or is it kind of like some people bring different things to your life than others?
Oh, people will always bring different things to your life. And that's the greatest lesson. Once we realize every single relationship is to help us evolve. So of course, there's going to be different kinds of levels, because we have different levels of things, don't we? You know, like, you're not going to make, as you say, your relationship with your third cousin removed as sacred as perhaps your partner, unless you're particularly close with that cousin. And then yes, you will. But every single person in our life is to help us. You know, nobody triggers us like our relationships do. So yes, there's definitely different levels of triggers as well.
Exactly. Okay, so why is it important? And I imagine it's, yeah, I kind of can guess what some of the answers are here, but so why is it important? I mean, I feel like people are craving more depth and more connection, especially, I always talk about the last 4 years. It's like life, what about life before that, you know? But especially in the last 4 years, some people have lost certain friendships or family members. And however, they've often said to me, but Nat, you know, I gained better ones, actually. You know, they're kind of like, it was really hard and horrible, but actually the connections that I have now are stronger in a way. So why is it important to have sacred relationships, something that's maybe stronger than something you had before?
We are here for love and connection. What else are us humans here for? We are here for love and connection. And why would we not want to make our relationship sacred? Why would we want our relationship to be a pain in our butt? That's not what we want. You know, we don't want to go and complain about our relationships, really. We want to be able to face things with whoever we're having the relationship with, have courageous conversations with the person, have conflict resolution with the person. Doesn't mean everything's going to be peace, light, and joy all the time, because life is life. But how do we go about making the relationship sacred? How do two parties work together to make the relationship beautiful so it benefits both sides, both parties?
Well, let's go there. I mean, I was just thinking that. So you just said, you know, how do we go about making relationships sacred? And I'm going to put that back to you. How do we go about making relationships sacred? What are some things we can do? Or if it's easier to touch on, what are some barriers, you know, or pitfalls, some things that make things not so sacred?
Do you know, one of the biggest things is for you as yourself to take ownership of that, of the role you play in any relationship. Own your words, own your actions, own your behaviors. Nobody can make you say or do or behave in any way. You are you. You, like, you know, I hear lots of people, oh, but they, you make me so angry. You made me do this. You made me. Nobody can make you do anything. That's so disempowering for starters. Own your own behaviors, words, and actions. Take responsibility for self. Mm. Learn about your emotions. What are your emotions telling you? Because as I said earlier, we get triggered. You know, there's nothing more triggering than being a parent by our children. We get triggered and we're like, oh, why am I being triggered? Why is this annoying me? Why is this irking me? Why is this making me feel sad? Why is this making me feel elated? Study your emotions and find out where they're coming from, because our relationships are there to help us heal, to help us become whole. But sometimes we don't take that opportunity. So know yourself, understand yourself, know your triggers, own your behaviors, understand your emotions, learn how to communicate.
I mean, this is a lot of things. Like, these are, you know, you're reeling them up, but it's a lot.
Yeah. These are big. Absolutely. But could you imagine the world, even when you look around now and think about the relationships you have with people, imagine if everybody took ownership of their stuff within and was more intentional about their role in a relationship. Because, you know, think about when we're young and we fall into relationships and then we start to learn as we get older. You know, you might start a relationship in your 20s, or by your 30s, by your 40s, you're a very different person and you know more. But if we knew this about ourselves at the beginning, can you imagine how differently the relationship would evolve?
Yeah, but I kind of had this theory, and of course I have teenagers, and, you know, so it's real. I'm encouraging them to look at life like this. You know, we go through life collecting experiences, right? You've heard me say this. And then I look, it looks like I'm picking things up and putting them in my basket. We go through life collecting experiences, and many of those are relationships. And, you know, each person that comes into our world is here to teach us something. We might not know what that is at the time. And similarly, we're here to teach them something. So I really like that concept. And it's like, yeah, you know, it's yes, it's sad when a boyfriend and a girlfriend, you know, when a relationship ends, but, you know, look what you learn from each other, like what you want and what you'll stand for and what you won't stand for. And so do you think we're always learning more and eventually getting more towards more sacred relationships?
I think we're always learning and we're always changing as well. We can change whenever we want as well. Remember that we are in charge of that. We're in the driver's seat of our own life, and we're always evolving. You know, we don't just get to an end point and that's the end point. It then carries on going. See, we're always learning. And will relationships be more sacred? Relationships will be more sacred when you are intentional about making your relationship sacred. Mm. Simple as that. You can be 20 You can be 40, you can be 60. It, there's no age limit. But when you're intentional about it, and why would you want to make your relationship sacred? Because it will enhance your life. It will calm your nervous system. It will increase your well-being and your vitality. So why would you not want to make them sacred? Why don't we? Let's go down that road, shall we? We don't because of fear. Often we don't know how to communicate. We don't know how to have our needs met. We're too frightened to say something. Or when we do say something, the other person cannot meet them. So therefore, actions speak louder than words. And we allow things to go on because we hope and we wish and we don't want to be on our own. And there's many other reasons. And also, we're not role modeled sacred relationships. Look around you. I could name on one hand the amount of sacred relationships I know personally. So we all need to start role modeling this. So our young people coming through don't just think mediocre naff relationships is what we aspire to. We can aspire to so much more than that.
So when I think sacred in this context, I think like special and cherished, you know, really something that we really value. I don't know. I mean, I could look up the definition of sacred. I actually don't know what it is. But when you say sacred relationships to me, that's really what comes to mind. And it's interesting, something you said earlier about the way that someone will respond. I had two, I don't know if I'm going to choose the word incidences or opportunities, in the last week where I really upped my brave. You know, I actually really, my truth teller stepped forward, you know, the truth teller side of me. And I kind of, I'm not going to say called someone out, but I was like, hey, I'm a little confused by this behavior that I've seen from you. You know, I'd love to, you know, so I kind of did that. And actually both of them in a way came back with like, oh, I'm sorry you interpreted it that way. Like there was, so it was slightly, in my view, lack of ownership. But also I was like, huh, like I probably on one of them, it was a voice message, always a bit of a hazard, the old voice message. So I was like, oh, you know, I listened back to it. I was like, okay, I probably was a little fired up and probably could have just calmed my farm slightly. But, I, you know, in both cases, I was like, no, I'm actually really happy that I didn't just go like, oh, you're like, I'm just going to say nothing. I'm just going to bite my tongue. I'm just going to like look the other way. It's like, no, actually, this is really strange behavior to me, and it doesn't reflect positively on either of us. So I just wanted to bring it to your attention. So it was almost like my truth teller was in full force, but I probably could have dialed up my nurturer a little bit with that. So but good, you know, to know. Always learning.
Well, we're always learning, but the opportunities that you came about this week, it's incredible, isn't it? But what you said, you could have easily turned a blind eye and gone, oh, no, I won't say anything. But that doesn't make us feel good in the long run either. Yeah. Having courageous conversations and saying something, speaking our truth from how we feel. Again, this is a great way. This is something I help clients with a lot, because often couples go into, or friends, whatever, whoever is in the relationship, go in and say, when you did this, you did this, and you did that. It's very you accusatory. Because when we ownership, look, this has happened and this is how I feel.
Yeah.
This is how I'm feeling. We take responsibility, because the other person might not have meant it that way. But if we go straight in on the you've done this, you've done that, it's confrontational. And straight away you can see the other person usually back off or come through with aggression. Whereas when we go through and we own how we feel, you know, I feel this, or this is how this has made me feel. It may not have been your intention, but I'd like to talk about it. It opens up this beautiful space for this courageous conversation and for the other person to have their say. Because again, I hear people, oh, and such has happened, and my partner's done this and my partner's done that. Like, have you spoke to them about it? No. Okay, well, this is where the problem lies.
And I think, yeah, people are scared, and I get that. And also I find if I had bitten my tongue, you know, I think people bite their tongue or they look the other way, but they secretly keep score, do they not? They're secretly like stashing away all these anecdotes. And then when they finally get mad enough, they're like, and then that time you did this, and then the other time when you did that, and then 3 years ago, blah, blah, blah. And the person's like, why didn't you even tell me?
Exactly. And the word resentment is coming up when you're saying that, the word resentment. When something happens and we feel resentful, remember that is about us. It's not about the other person, because the other person doesn't usually know. You know, think about your children, for instance. If you start to feel resentful that you're the only one doing the jobs in the house and nobody else is, it's time to sit back and go, oh, okay, I'm feeling resentful now. Nobody else has got any idea how I'm feeling. So I'm just going to take a breath here and I'm going to realize what I need to do about it. What I need to do is I need to get a roster up on the fridge, or I need to say, come on, everybody, we're all doing it together. We're all going to clean the house together.
We're going to put some tunes on and we're going to get it done.
We need to take ownership. Whenever resentment comes up or that feeling of ickiness within a relationship, you start to sit there and you just, again, have that awareness. What is this telling me? What do I need to do? We've got all the answers inside of us.
Okay, so you've listed off a lot of things. You said know yourself, understand yourself. Something about triggers. I want to talk about that again, because some of my listeners won't know what we mean by triggers. So what is a trigger? And so if we know our triggers, I think is what you said, know your triggers. Can you explain what that means?
I think we get triggered every day. Do you get triggered every day, Nat? I get triggered every day by something.
Not every day, but I know what you mean. So is it like something that like fires you up? Like, and it's a pattern or something?
Well, it could be something that doesn't feel good, basically. Usually a trigger is, because if we're getting triggered into good stuff, we wouldn't really be worrying about that, would we? It's the triggers that go, oh, that hurt my feelings, or, oh, that didn't feel good, or was that necessary? Or, you know, or something might get you fired up where you want to shout back. It's it's this kind of feeling inside that we're not always terribly comfortable with. And often we will have a subconscious reaction to it. And we all have our own subconscious reactions. You know, my go-to emotion is anger when I'm not feeling good. I know that about myself. So if the feelings of anger ever bubble up inside me, I go, ooh, okay, I'm being triggered. What am I being triggered into and why?
Yeah.
What is my role in this? And it's just that having that awareness of that feeling and not reacting to it, but instead pausing.
Mm.
Pausing, because there's something inside of us that's feeling off, whether it's hurt, sadness, betrayal, jealousy, rage, anger, name any of those kind of emotions. But just sitting with it and making friends with it and saying, where is this coming from? And why am I feeling this way? Mm-hmm. Because often it's not the other person.
Yeah.
You know, as you say, we get triggered and you walk through the door one day, you walk through the door and the house is a mess, nobody's done anything. You walk through the door one day and there's one sock on the floor and you end up going, oh my goodness, and you lose it. You know what I mean? But over one sock, it's not about the one sock. Mm-hmm. It's about the 10 times you've walked in the house previously and the house hasn't been kept up to date, but you haven't kept on top of it.
But you haven't said anything.
And if you haven't said anything, how are people supposed to know? Never assume. This is also a really big rule in relationships. Never assume and don't think you know the other person better than they know themselves, because that's not okay. Because we sometimes do, we go, oh, I know why they've done that. I can tell that. We go into these funny little roles. Never assume, ask questions. Stay in curiosity.
Well, it is so curious, isn't it? Like even take a scenario. So everyone who's listening, okay, if you can bring to mind a recent event or a recent scenario like mine where you got triggered by something someone did and you either bit your tongue or you did what I did where you called them out. But it's interesting to look at that scenario and go, what was it about that? Like, why was I triggered? Now using this new terminology, some people will be familiar with the word trigger. You know, oh, that's so fascinating, right? I'm so curious. Like, I wonder why I was so triggered. Well, in one of the instances, if I look at it now with fresh eyes, I go, oh, because I told her, I gave her clear instructions and she went and did exactly what I said not to do. And that's why I was so triggered. So it's like, huh, okay, Nat. So you obviously like when people do what you say. Yeah, I really do. Especially, right? But it's like, oh, okay. So I'm going to look at it with this new perspective going, why was I so triggered? It wasn't necessarily her. It could have been anyone.
Okay. Did I communicate that correctly? Because just because I think I have communicated it correctly, obviously it didn't land the way I thought it would. So can I change the way I communicate? So next time you'd be in a scenario, at the end of the conversation, you might go, could you just repeat back what you think you've heard? So we're all on the same page. You know, it's like these little tiny life hacks and tweaks which enhance our life massively. Can I give you an example about triggers?
But I just want to jump in. I think you're so right, because you just said, can you just repeat back to me? Well, some people are more audio, right? And some people are more visual. And what I ended up doing in the end with that conversation is I said, you know what? I feel like maybe a visual will be easier for you. So I took a screenshot and I marked it up. I was like, this is what I'm talking about. So it's like she wasn't hearing me, even though I thought I was being clear. But it's like some people aren't audio. They're more visual. Yeah,
exactly. And having that understanding about other people, nobody is you. Nobody is you. So having that grace and compassion for others is huge. Christmas morning, I opened my presents and I told my partner that I really wanted this Yeti cup, you know, an insulated cup to carry my cup of tea to training in the morning. And I said, I don't want a handle. I'd shown him the pictures.
Uh-huh.
I don't want a handle because I want it to be able to fit in the center console and da da da. There's all the reason why. And I want it so big so I can fit like 1.5 cups in. Very clear with my communication. Even showed pictures.
Even the color.
Yeah. Then I opened it on Christmas morning. Lo and behold, there was a handle on the blimmin' cup. And I was like, but only because of my training and because what I know, I held my breath. I smiled sweetly. I said, oh, thank you so much. I love it, which I did. It was beautiful color, perfect in every other area. But the handle, 5 years ago, that would have really, really upset me. I would have felt unseen, unheard, and uncherished. Mm-hmm. That's what it would have triggered within me. I would have thought, I have said exactly what I want. Why am I not being seen, heard, and cherished here?
So interesting.
But I know my partner well. He's not cruel. He's not manipulative. He's not mean. He's got a beautiful heart. So later that day, I just went to him. I said, can I just ask you a question? I said, why the handle after the conversations we've had? And I seen the penny drop and he looked white and he looked really upset. I said, I'm not doing this to upset you, I promise. I just wanted to know why the handle. And he went, it was just before Christmas. The shop was so busy. They just released a new colour. I seen it on the shelf. I didn't want anybody to get it. I just so desperately wanted that colour for you because I know it's your colour. Do you know what? That just filled my heart with love because it was all in the right thing. He did not hear or see me or cherish me, but I could have got really hurt and it could have been a really big deal on Christmas Day. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So remain open, remain in curiosity. Never think that the other person is doing something. Ask the question. And, you know, we're both on this learning train together, both me and my partner, both me and my children, both me and my mum, both me and my friends. We've all signed up for this. So I don't want to crucify the other person, whoever I'm in that relationship with. And I don't want to be upset myself either. Often we bring up a lot. We bring a lot of the upset onto ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Why the handle?
Why did you give me a handle?
It's like, honey, why the handle? No, all good. All good.
The poor guy, you could imagine, can't you?
So it's interesting what you brought up because it's like a situation which looks like you receiving a gift which is pretty close to what you wanted, not spot on, but it can mean so much. It can mean I'm not seen, I'm not heard. And you even said, I'm pretty sure, I'm not cherished.
Yes.
So what other things can our listeners take away from this conversation in terms of not being triggered? Like, because it takes a lot to realize, to be curious and to go, okay, normally I would totally freak out, but I'm not going to. Like, what other practical skills or strategies can we, you said you took a breath, you smiled sweetly, but then you didn't just swallow it. You actually did bring it up with him later, which is great, I think. So what else can our listeners take from this and apply?
Well remember, we're always going to be triggered because we've always got layers of healing to do. Healing is like that never-ending cycle and it just goes deeper and deeper. So always just be aware that you will have triggers. And that's okay. That's okay. That's for your evolution. And if you can think this is for my growth, I'm going to learn something here. And if you can see it from through those eyes of perception rather than it being scary, it's almost exciting when we get triggered because we know that we're going to heal deeper. We go, yay, I'm being triggered here. Again, always take the breath. Always take the breath. There is so much power in a pause. There's so much power in a pause. Take the breath. Don't lose it if you can help it. And then think about what you want to say, because communication is one of the most, it's most underrated thing, but it's the thing that we do every day with each other, with ourselves. Learning how to communicate in a calm, clear, and concise way with curiosity, there's a lot of C's there, is so beautiful because it stops a lot of arguments. And then if something does come to conflict, yet another C, think about how to resolve the conflict rather than making it bigger. Yeah. Couples, any two people in a relationship, if you two can both work on conflict resolution, that's awesome because there's always going to be differences. Learn how to communicate. Learn how to resolve conflict. Learn each other's triggers, know each other well, remain in curiosity.
So in this day and age of FaceTime and Zoom and voice messages and text messages, do you have guidance around, for example, if someone, you know, text messaged you something and it triggered you, is it best to, you know what I mean, text message them back? Because my go-to, I'm a talker. So my go-to is I'm just going to ring them on the phone or leave a voice message. But, you know, most people know my story with my dad when, we had a bit of a head collision as such during the COVID years. And my solution was like, boom, straight away, I'm calling him like an actual person is the way that I word it. Like I didn't just text back into the group chat that he had put it into. Right. And I'm like, I'm just going to like actually call him on the phone. So do you have thoughts on that? You know, if someone says something to you, is it best for you to speak back to them or write? I mean, I imagine it's whatever you feel comfortable with, but is there some guidance on that in terms of like the ideal for communication?
It's a really amazing question. And thank you for asking, because I used to go in to do a lot of facilitation into schools and speak to years 11 to 13, you know, exam age children. And we used to talk about communication a lot. And remember, the communication is statistics, but let's say 55% body language, 38% tone. Well, that uses a very small number for words, doesn't it? Words are the least important when we communicate, yet words hold so much power. But can you imagine when you send a text message or an email, that's 100% of your communication is in words.
Yeah.
Hence why we should, because when you receive a text.
And emojis, which can be misinterpreted as well.
Everything can be misinterpreted. Even as you know, you even said you had this conversation with whoever you had a conversation with, you thought they'd understood. And that's verbal with the body language, with the communication, with the tone of voice. So when you're using words, them words hold a heck of a lot of power in an email or a text message, whether there's pictures or not. So they're very, very open to interpretation. A lot of trouble and conflict happens via emails and text messages, especially because it's very easy to fire off. And it's a, you know, lots of people cannot communicate or don't think they can. They have not learned how to communicate, to use their voice. I believe it's a skill that everybody can learn, no matter how introverted, no matter how shy, no matter who we are in our human design and what centers we have open and closed, everybody can learn to communicate. And so just have that in mind. You know, if you are sending a text message or an email, that's going to hold a lot of power in the words. But you've got to be very careful how we say it. Even just one misplaced full stop or comma can make an entire sentence.
Or too many exclamation marks, my friend.
Oh, yeah. It can make and capital letters. Do not yell at me, missy. You know, there's a lot of power there. So just have that awareness. I mean, there's nothing more enriching than somebody who can actually pick up the telephone or come to you. I remember a friend, a mum at school one time, just really had this massive go at me. And I was a bit like, wow. And the old me, again, this was years ago, I would have feistily hit back, but I thought, this is not the right time. I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. And I went away. And later that day, I just let the dust settle and I went and knocked on her door with a bunch of flowers. And I said, I'm really sorry you feel like this. Can we just talk about it?
Wow.
And honestly, she was so thankful because she knew how she behaves. And that's kind of, she wasn't very happy how she'd behaved. But nobody had ever just had the guts just to go and knock on her door and just to deal with it, which I think it was a big, huge healing journey for her as well. We were both able to sit down, talk about it. And it was just an absolute innocent mistake. But we could have lost our friendship over it. So there's a great power in picking up the phone or going to see someone and talking when you are feeling calm. Because remember, it's all about your energy. If you'd picked up the phone to your dad and gone rah, 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 down the phone, it would have been received like that. So be careful how you are sending the message. Make sure your energy is okay and you are feeling grounded when you decide to make those calls.
If you've just joined us, you're listening to the Up Your Brave show on Reality Check Radio. I'm talking to Joanne Webb today on the topic of how to enjoy sacred relationships for deeper love, connection, and peace. And Joe, that's such a great segue to a question I've got brewing, which is around another one of the things I know you help people with, which is around forgiveness. So it feels to me, and I use the phrase, you know, be the bigger person. That's something I'm always teaching my teens again. It's like, you know, if someone's wronged you, I can come back and I can attack that person. But it's like, be the bigger person. It's like you buying the flowers, not only having the courage to show up on the doorstep, but coming with flowers is like a symbolic gesture before any words are exchanged. Already it diffuses things.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you're talking about forgiveness.
Yeah.
You know, things happen in our life and we do mess up sometimes, and we mess up often without intention. It's usually in an innocent way, but we still have to apologize or sort something out. And that creates a level of forgiveness from one party to another. But within this, we've got to remember to forgive ourselves, because we're so good at beating ourselves up and going, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Or, I was such a dork, or silly me, or, oh, you know, or even worse, we really emotionally beat ourselves up. But have this beautiful kindness and compassion to self. That's one of the basis for sacred relationships. People who can treat themselves with kindness, compassion, and love, and then extend that to others. Forgive self, forgive others.
Okay, so a key element to sacred relationships is forgiving yourself if need be.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it's a key element for our evolution and healing journey as well. It's one of the steps that I find often my clients haven't done. They've gone through life forgiving other people where they can, but they forgot to forgive themselves along the way. So they've carried these little bits of shame and guilt within them, feeling so bad, and it gets carried around and it gets heavier and heavier year upon year. But once they start forgiving themselves, all of a sudden these little bubbles of explosion come out and they feel lighter and brighter. It's one step that often people forget, but it's so important.
I've heard it been said that forgiveness is not necessarily for the person we're forgiving. It is for us. Can you explain the power of forgiveness, I guess, you know, how forgiveness can benefit us as well as others? And I'm thinking, because I'm always talking about suppression versus expression and the impact of suppressing yourself on your health. I imagine forgiveness also has a positive impact on health.
Oh, huge. All of this does. You know, anything that's holding us down and keeping us from either playing small or making us feel bad, or when those triggers happen, you know, they'll happen thicker and stronger if there's not that level of forgiveness and that level of healing. Forgiveness is, as I said, if it makes you feel lighter and brighter, even just instantly, your body just goes, it just feels taller and it feels more expansive and open. It's so beautiful. And it's nobody likes to feel hate or rage or hurt or upset, but they're usually the feelings that come about when we don't forgive. It's those kind of heavy, dense feelings that when you think of an incident that enrages you again, where you haven't managed to forgive, it's like drinking poison, isn't it? Poisoning yourself. It's having this poison that's constantly running through your veins, which holds you back. And don't get me wrong, some things are very, very difficult to forgive. So I will help clients with the different words like release or surrender, you know, just release that. Release it. You might not necessarily forgive the person, forgive the situation, because it might just be too hard and too awful. And I do understand that. But releasing these feelings, allowing them to transmute back into the world, back into the universe, then you're not carrying it around with you, because you're right, it makes people ill.
That changes the energy with just that word release. You can feel the lightness in that. I mean, I did have a scenario a few weeks back where I went to the local quiz night, my kids' school. And of course, who should be there? You know, when I signed up for the cleanup crew. And of course, who should be there? A woman that I had run-in with in the COVID years. And it wasn't that she bullied me. It was that she rallied the other moms to bully me, like in a very amiable, you know, smiling assassin type of way. Yeah. And so I get, for me, when I see her, I'm always like, I'm the bigger person. So, you know, we walk past each other. She doesn't say hi to me. She doesn't acknowledge that I exist. And I'm like, hey, so-and-so, I won't say her name. And I'm like, hey, so-and-so, you know, I'm like, how are you? Like, and then I keep walking. We don't have a conversation, but we don't have a confrontation either. But have I forgiven her? No. Would it be better if I did? Probably. But how do I do it, Joe?
Well, it's about going back and sitting with those feelings. How did you feel at the time? Because it sounds like there's a lot of
hurt. By the way, I actually did leave a note at her door. This is about a year ago. And I probably left flowers. Like, there's been gestures made. However, she blocked me on Facebook. She blocked me on, I can't even text her, which is weird because I should have been the one doing the blocking. But anyway.
But do you hear your words there?
I know, the S word.
You have reached out. You have put yourself in a place of vulnerability to be met with nothing, to be shut down. That would have created feelings inside you. I will not name the feelings for you, but there will be feelings there that you haven't dealt with.
Right.
And that's when we go back and we sit with that. I mean, we talk about feeling to heal. I think I've talked about this on our previous recording, but feel to heal.
Yes.
And we don't like to feel that discomfort, that, oh, she hurt me, that I'm hurt. And just naming the feeling, I feel hurt, or I feel sad, or I feel enraged, whatever your feeling is, own it, sit with it, allow yourself to feel all of it in its mighty force and breathe through it. It will not last. Breathe. And then we say, am I ready to let this go? Can I let this go? Am I ready to release this? Because you would have just been following some patterns in your life as well, trying to, because you're such a people person. You're so likable.
And I'm such a rescuer as well, though.
You've gone back into all of these like little patterns of who you are, and she's met you with nothing. So it's like, wow. But that's very confronting. So it's about sitting with those feelings now, and you can work through it. I'll help you release, girl. Don't you worry.
So interesting. Well, for those of you listening, you know, I'm up for the challenge. Are you up for the challenge? If there's someone in your life who has, in your opinion, wronged you in some way, whether that be recent or ages ago, I invite you, if you're up for it, to try to do some of these things Joe's been talking about with the courageous, either a courageous conversation or looking at it with a curious perspective and noticing the trigger and really leaning into like, why are you so triggered by that? And see if you can learn something and maybe release or forgive and let us know how you go. You can send us a text 2057 on the text or inbox at realitycheck.radio if you want to email us and let us know what is resonating from this conversation about sacred relationships. Do you want more sacred relationships? And if people do go ahead and have some of those courageous conversations, let us know. What were you going to say, Joe?
I was going to say, I've got like a friend who wanted to work with me. She hasn't yet. But like, I think her husband left something like 15 years ago, and she's still really angry about it. Really terribly angry, very bitter, like hates him, hates his new partner. But do you know the weirdest thing is? She wasn't even happily married to him. So as humans, you've got to remember, we are quite kooky and quite crazy at times. But that's just her programming, and she can program it the other way. It just takes commitment. And that's where I say, when I work with committed people who are ready to do the work, and the work doesn't have to take long. Just because you've hated somebody or something is not going your way and it hasn't been for 10, 15, 20, 50 years, whatever, if you choose for it to be different, it will be different. It just takes commitment and dedication and a promise to yourself.
And courage, right? All these C words that you were, because it does take courage. Does. Well, speaking of which, I'm going to go to the up your brave question, Joe. If you were to truly up your brave for the remaining months of 2024, what would you do? What would that look like to you?
Oh, wow. I definitely have my membership site up and running. You know what I mean, Nat? It's always the technology stuff.
I know, it's the tech.
Holding back, but I'd have my membership up because I'd love this beautiful membership of women and teens coming together and just loving themselves, loving their life and having beautiful relationships based on all of those lovely words, respect, honesty, support, trust, integrity. You know, that would just fill the cockles of my heart. And I'd be up on more stages talking, but those opportunities are coming in. So yay.
Okay. So more speaking opportunities and a membership with parents and teens. There'll be a lot of people out there listening who have teens. Do you have one little tip about strengthening or having more sacred relationships specifically with your teen that you want to share with us?
Don't expect anything from them, because this is the thing I find from parents. Parents expect teenagers to be like grown-ups. And we've got to remember, our children are children. They are not grown-ups. They do not have their adult brain. They are not adults. They have not had life experience. We're expecting them to make decisions. We're expecting them to do this or expecting them to do that. Oh, well, they're 16. They should be doing this. They should be doing that. Why should they? Why should they? Ask that question.
And then you know what comes when they don't? The D word, disappointment. I hate that word.
Yeah. I know. So I'm not being funny. Like, our children are a blessing to us. As I said, nothing will trigger you more than your own child. So just be aware of that. But again, that's for your soul's expansion. Beautiful opportunity. But stop having expectations from our teens. And instead, you know, learn how to communicate on their terms. Sit with them, just sit with them without asking them a question, because they hate being asked questions. They don't want you to ignore them either, but they don't want a million bombarded questions. Simple chit chat is really nice with teens. Hey, you all right? Having a nice day? I've had a great day. You know, chat about yourself as well, because often we just look at them and we go, have you had a good day? How was school? What are you doing tonight? And they're like, oh, they don't want all of that bombardment of questions. So simple chit chat, no expectations. And if you decide you want something to happen with your teen, know that you are the CEO of your house and you can do it. As we said earlier, if you want the house clean, put the tunes on, do a bit of teamwork. Come on, we're all doing it together.
Yeah, make it fun.
Absolutely.
I also think we can learn a lot, you know, from our teens as well. It's like a two-way street of learning opportunities.
Totally. I mean, my children are my biggest teachers, absolutely. And they're each and every one of them are a blessing. If I had expectations on them, I'd be disappointed all the time. But instead, that's not my role to have expectations on them. My role is to cherish and love them unconditionally and for them to know that they are safe no matter what, so they can come to me and tell me anything and allow them to be their unique, beautiful selves.
Mother of four. Very impressive, Jo.
Yeah. Not what we want them to be.
What is coming up for you in terms of life or business, and how can people connect? What are some of your social media and also websites and things?
You can connect with me on Facebook or Instagram. I am the_happiness_hustler on Instagram and the Happiness Hustler on Facebook. I do have a website, but it's a little bit outdated, so we'll update that first. But yeah, connect with me, and I've got new courses coming out. There's an online course, the Goddess Awakening, which is beautiful for women and teenagers, actually for anybody, to be fair. I've got a new course coming out called The Rising Goddess, which just goes deeper. You know, again, we talked about forgiveness and feeling to heal in the awakened goddess. There's some more juicy nuggets coming up in the Rising Goddess. So I'm very, very excited to run that at the end of the month. And lots of podcasts and chats coming up on my Facebook page. So yeah, tune in, because there's always some exciting things out there. I'm always chatting with new faces and speaking to new goddesses about how to tap into our beautiful goddess energy.
Well, I will get the link from you. And I think you also have a link tree, so which has multiple links on it. So I will put the link on the replay page. You guys can check it out at realitycheck.radio. Go to replays on the Up Your Brave show and you can find it there. Otherwise, you can just send us a message 2057 and say, please give me Joe's contact details. And we'll send it to you. Is there anything else, Joe, that you want to share with our audience today about sacred relationships, self-love, forgiveness, all the things?
Love yourself, love your life, love each other. And that's kind of how it goes. It goes from one to two to three. You know, it's about loving ourselves. Loving ourselves is so important. If the more you can love yourself, the more sacred your relationships will be, because they will automatically have better communication. They will automatically have more boundaries. You will have your needs met because you love yourself, and you will be honoring yourself in every relationship. And just know that not all relationships can be saved, but some of them can, and some of them will hands, but you also cannot do the work for another person. The only person you are responsible for is yourself. So yeah, but keep going and keep striving to have your relationships be sacred, because they will warm the cockles of your heart.
Thank you, Jo. I think you've brought a new phrase to people, and they're going to possibly look at some of their relationships differently, and maybe some of them will be even deeper and more connected than before. Thank you so much, Jo Webb, for joining us today.
Thank you, Nat. See you soon.
And thank you, everyone, for listening.
Thank you for tuning in to RCR, Reality Check Radio. If you like what you're listening to or dislike what you're listening to, either way, we want to hear from you. Get in touch with us now. You can text us with your message to 2057. That's 2057. Or email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio. We would love to hear from you, so connect with us today.